Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazreti Mufti Sahib Rahmetullahi Aleyh was a man of different kamalat. If you had gone to Deoband in his zamana, and on the one end he was teaching the senior books of hadith, Bukhari, Sharif, etc. Then he was the most senior person in fiqh and fatawa in Darul Deoband. With all that, he was a sheikh of tasawuf as well. And then Allah Ta'ala blessed him to be doing the work of Jamaat in the company of Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi as well. So a man of such diversity at a place like Darul Uloom Deoband is not a simple thing to find. Hadith has got kamal, then fatawa, he is the senior most person, then in tasawuf he is a sheikh kamil, and then apart from all this, he is a person who has worked in the Jamaat circles with Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. In fact, for a long period, he was amongst the senior most people that were consulted in Jamaat matters. If there was an issue, then it would be referred to as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, and the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh would consult Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh as well in matters pertaining to Jamaat. Not only has the Shaykh, even has Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, at times he would refer to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. At the beginning, Mawla Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh wasn't very inclined towards Jamaat. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had requested Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh to try and explain him. The reason being that the father could not be so open with the son. And Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, because there was some additional degree of compatibility, so the father requested that, why don't you explain my son, Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the knack of explanation. When it came to intricate issues, to explain intricate issues, Allah Ta'ala had granted him that blessing. He could explain these things. So all these kamalat is not found easily in one single person at one and the same time. With all that, if you looked at him in Deoband, then he would be an ordinary person. When we went, then we didn't even know that he was a buzurg. The way he would conduct himself, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, it's like a true reflection of the verse of the Quran. I'm just one of the crowd there, amongst the Muslims. No distinguished personality, nothing. So these people come after many, many years. One single gem like this you will find. You won't just find it very commonly. After many, many years you will find a person like this. That within the length and the breadth of the Indian subcontinent, you find a person like this. And every madrasa, every town, every state has got that respect for him. If there is a challenge against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, then they can't find a person to go and confront the situation like Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Most intricate situations, whether it's a Shia thing, it's a thing dealing with the Salafi or Raza Khani, Bidati, whoever, the madrasa won't find a person like him to go and represent itself. So, a person with such diversity, such perfection, and then to conduct himself like an ordinary person. Look, if you are there, the human at that time, you won't even know this is a buzurg. When we were studying hadith, at that time, his eyes began to give up. And some student asked him to teach the second volume of hadith, for which he was not very eager at the time, because of his eye. But in that discussion, he mentioned, Alhamdulillah, the section that you wish to learn, I know the entire section off by heart. The entire section, I know it off by heart. Now, that this type of thing he will not explain. But when the student put him right into that corner, at that moment he expressed, Alhamdulillah, I know it off by heart. It's not a problem. Right? I teach it. So Allah Ta'ala granted him such a memory. If he related something now today, right, he explained an incident, 30 years later you asked him that incident, he will repeat it verbatim, approximately word for word, same incident, say it's an incident of 3 pages or 4 pages, like he explained it to you 30 years ago, he'll explain it to you now again, exactly with the same word, same sequence, style and everything. That is why you will find that the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, in his personal matters, he would consult him, that I saw this dream here, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wanting me to come to Medina Munawwara, or to come for Hajj, what must I do? Our personal matters you will discuss, and what is your decision, I will take it from there. Unfortunately, most of us didn't see that time. We didn't see that level of mashayikh. We saw them from a distance, for which we cannot appreciate them. We cannot appreciate them. We don't know who they were. Anyway, just to cut the whole thing short, one is to make you understand who the personality was, right? Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blessed me that I was in his company. Then I was in the company of Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was also amongst the most greatest of mashayikh of tariqat of the time, for not only for India, I would say for the entire world, amongst the greatest of mashayikh of tariqat. You can't find a person like that. A replacement of that caliber you can't find. People coming with most complicated situations in tasawwuf, and sometimes in a minute, in 2 minutes, he came with problems, difficulties, like you will think, you know, he got such difficulties that will move a mountain. And in 2 minutes, his problem and his difficulty is sorted out. 2 minutes. Flat 2 minutes. Now, that's not the job of anybody and everybody. These are specially hand-picked, selected people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a man has got such a huge problem, dynamic problem, comes to the man here, he thought now take days to sort it out. And in a matter of 2 minutes, man has sorted it out. So, what is this? These are like selected people. Now the problem we have today is that these, because of the abundance of literature available, we have gone into one direction. The Bani Israel, the reason for their destruction, what was the reason for their destruction? You will find two sectors. One was the Christians and the other was the Yahud. What was the reason for the destruction of the Yahud? The reason for their destruction was they would say, Yakfina Kitabullah. We have got information sufficient for us. We don't require Rijalullah. We don't require Ahlullah. As a result, يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They disregarded Ahlullah and they would kill and assassinate Anbiya alayhi salam, approximately 13, 15 in a single day. In a single day, 15 Anbiya, they ruthless, they murdered them. Right? By the end of that same day, when 50, 60 Rijalullah, pious ulama stood up in defense of the Anbiya, they killed them as well. So this was the one extreme where they say, we got the Kitabullah, Yakfina Kitabullah. We don't require anything else. And the other extreme was of the Christians who said that we just require the Rijalullah. We only require Ahlullah. We don't require Kitabullah. So these people then were not concerned about the law, right? They weren't concerned about the book. And whoever claimed to be Ahlullah or claimed to be a pious divine, they would follow him. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. See how clearly Quran Sharif is speaking about the Jews and the Christians. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. So they took their dervishes. We'll say English translation, dervish. Dervish now Ahlullah. Buzrug. Right? They took their dervishes and the ulama as gods. Right? So they disconcerned themselves with the Kitabullah and they took this thing. So these people went astray and this other group also went astray. So the reason for the Bani Israel going astray was they took the Kitabullah and they forsook and they abandoned the Kitabullah. They abandoned the Ahlullah. And the Christians, they took the Kitabullah, they took the Rijalullah, and they forsook the Ahlullah. They took the Ahlullah and they forsook the Kitabullah. So both these groups went astray, Christians and Jews. And then to encapsulate the whole thing, Allah Pak says in the Quran, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. The straight path, Allah Ta'ala, is the path that is not that of the Jews who became prejudiced against the Anbiya, nor of the Christians who were disconcerned about the Kitabullah. Right? So these people were prejudiced against the Anbiya and this group had forsaken the Kitabullah. So Allah Ta'ala, the accepted group is that is in between, who reconciles the both. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Right? Who reconciled between the both. Who can marry the both. So now these are the blessed group. Right. So in this age, in this zamana, this is what's happening, that because of the abundance of information, we feel I can access the kitab, I can access the internet, and I can bring out any information I want. So what's the need of the Ahlullah? I don't need that. Right. So more or less, we are taking the same path that was adopted by the Jew. Right. And that is why the hadith says that وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا, that the latter of this ummah will begin to revile, they will begin to abuse the pious predecessors. They abandon them, finish now, they will revile now. So there's nobody like us. What muhakkik we are, what experts we are, there's nobody like us. So each person becomes quite confident and quite complacent with his level of knowledge. He doesn't see the need. He doesn't see the need to relate to his elders. Okay. Whereas ilm is such a thing, ilm gets the shine, it gets the polish with kasrat-e mulazamat. You see in the sign of science of hadith that many of the muhaddiseen will see that this person who is relating hadith, is there the aspect of kasrat-e mulazamat in him? Did he live with his seniors for a long period, refer to them, remain with them, understand them properly, or did he not enjoy this? If he enjoyed this, then this was an additional thing in him. They would hold him in higher esteem and higher respect. Kasrat-e mulazama. The man was with him for long time, so he understood. He's not only understood, but he's digested it. He's taken it deeply. Otherwise, you've seen the person once, you related something from him, and you came away. Right? And this happens in the Sahaba as well. You'll find that some of the Imams, they take the hadith from the hadith of Salat from Wa'il ibn Hujr radiyallahu anhu, right? But then the others say that Wa'il ibn Hujr radiyallahu anhu, though he was a Sahabi, but he had come to Medina Munawwara just two occasions, right? Around the second year, first time, and then approximately the 8th or the 9th year. Ji? Which year? Remember? The first time he came around the 2nd year and of the Hijrat, and the second time he came around the 8th or the 9th year. That's only two times he had come. Now you compare him against Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Now he was min as-sabiqeen al-awwaleen. He accepted Islam at the very beginning. And he remained with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam right till the end. So both are Sahaba. But now who had the aspect, who enjoyed the kasrat-e mulazamat, remaining in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a long, long period? Obviously his word and his understanding will be greater than the person who has been there just twice. Right? He has seen something else. And he's seen something else. Right? So this is where we stand today, that each person feels that what I've got is quite sufficient, I don't require to refer. And when you're not going to refer, what's going to happen? Then that additional fine, that additional polish and that additional refinement that is supposed to be there in your knowledge is not there. Right. You understand part of the argument and the rest of it you fail to understand it, and the reason for the failure is that you didn't have that type of association with your elders. Right. And this is what the hadith warns again. يَعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِي that each person becomes self-opinionated. He takes an independent stance. There's a situation and he's independent in his stance. So, to be able to reconcile the both, and then understand the mansha of the nubuwwat, understand what was the spirit, what was the theme of deen under any given situation, there is no other way but to understand these elders. If you didn't understand the elders, then you didn't understand it. You have to have the hadith, the fiqh, and the tafsir, all that, but in the light of these elders that are around. If you've got it independently of these elders, then you haven't got it completely. And if you only got the elders and you haven't got the Quran, the hadith, and fiqh, etc., then too you haven't got a complete combination. And you need both. See? The one extreme that we have today is there are those that perhaps opened up their kitabs the last time that they opened it up, when they were in the madrasa perhaps. After that, it becomes zinat al-mari. It becomes an ornament in the lounge. Right? Ask someone now, when last you opened up Tirmidhi Sharif, when last you opened up Hidayah, or Jalalain, you know, when was studying the kitab, that's the last time I opened it. Thereafter now, it's so beautifully placed in the lounge there. Very, very beautifully placed. After that, how many years passed? 10 years, 15 years? I didn't check it up. So what kitab do you check up? So they'll tell you, no, when I need to give a bayan, then I'll check up one kitab. Or I'll listen to one tape. Right? And I'll get all bayan from that. And then that one tape, or the one bayan that I learn, that I will circulate it in four different masjids in order to give them more ikram. My knowledge can spread far and wide, you know. So, I learned it once, and that is sufficient for 1 month. Right? Now, what's going to happen to ilm? I ask you, what's going to happen to ilm after that? The kitab needs murajat all the time. You have to refer to it all the time. Nabi Sassam also feared this zamana, where there will be ilm, but to enhance that ilm, people are not going to enhance it. They're going to take that ilm and they're going to stifle it. It's going to become stagnated. They don't enhance it. They don't progress it. Now you think to yourself that there is water here, but it's not running. There's no flow in the water. It gets stagnated. What happens? It decays, finished, khalas. The same exactly happens with ilm. If it's stagnated, it's left. It will decay slowly, slowly, then it begins to collapse and it's finished. So there's two extremes now. Like in the Bani Israel, there were two extremes. Here again you get two extremes. One is that who just take the kitab, end of the story. We don't need anybody else. We can access the things ourselves. And you get the other extreme who says, well, I don't need it, man. What am I going to check all these maslahs and all that? I don't need to check all these things, man. Now, maybe once in a blue moon, one masla will come up. And that is true, that once in a blue moon, a masla may come up. Lately, I was showing someone. One masla came up, and I told that person that was asking, or some of the alim that was discussing, that this answer here, I checked it in this kitab, or I heard it from my ustad, or whatever it was, but that was about 35 years ago. 35 years ago, one masla came, and you have to understand that, remember the masla that was taught to you 35 years ago. Imagine. It happens, you have to keep those kitabs, and you have to remember them, and you have to make mudarasat of those kitabs, muzawalat of those kitabs, carry on. So you get these two extremes. One that is not concerned about the kitab itself, and the other that goes into the kitab so deep that he forgets about referring. Both extremes. And as a result, the infrastructure of deen is weakened down, You're not referring to the kitab, or you're not referring to your elders. You're not referring to the kitabs, or you aren't referring to your elders. And one of the two, leaving out one of the two, is destruction. When this India-Pakistan partition, when that discussion was going on, 47. So the three great mashayikh and buzurgan deen of the time was Hazrat Maulana Madani Sahib, Shaykhul Islam Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh, and Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Overall, in the Indian subcontinent, everybody's eyes was on these three people. And the reason was obvious. Maulana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, students from right throughout were coming to Deoband, and he was the Shaykhul Hadith at the time. Hazrat Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah was the Shaykhul Hadith in Saharanpur, and these were the two popular madrasas. And the popular khanqa at that time, Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah had already passed away. He passed away 42, and this is taking place in 47. So after him, it was Maulana Raipuri Sahib that was most popular. So these are the three people that people had set their eyes on. Now there's a discussion going on as to what decision to be taken at the time. Very crucial moment in India. Very, very crucial moment. Maulana Raipuri Sabrahman says that mere ta samajh mein koi baat aati nahi. I can't understand this thing at all. Because there's arguments for and arguments against. In this whole issue, there's arguments for and there's arguments against. So I can't understand this. Baki, let's look at the statement he makes. Baki, Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah ki mukhalafat karna, apne liye jahannam ke raasta mol lena hai. Though I don't understand this thing here, but opposing Maulana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is like purchasing Jahannam for yourself. Now look at the Aitimad and look at how he refers to his elder. Right? He refers to his elder. Although he and Maulana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah may be about around the same ages. Maulana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah may be a few years elder than him. Right? But around the same. But look at the degree of respect. There is some elder, I need to refer to him. I can't be independent in my stance. Okay. Now if you look at the incident that took place around that time, 47. If these three personalities weren't there at that time, then it wouldn't be surprising that India would have been another Spain. If you're only acquainted with Indian history, you see, what happened at the time and how events were unfolding at the time. And if it wasn't for the stance that these people had taken at that time, then it would have never been surprising that India would be another Spain. That Islam would have been wiped off the map from India entirely. But it was these people's sacrifices, their foresight, and above all, their ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, right? And their emulation of their elders that kept this thing going. Now you see thousands of madrasas and everything going on, everything flourishing in India. But initially, who laid the foundation stone? Hazrat Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi, who was the Amir of the Jamaat at that time, he was on one leg, on one foot. میرے تو سمجھ میں نہیں آتی باقی جو بھائی جی کہے گا وہی میں کروں گا بھائی جی was شیخ رحمت علی that was his first cousin so whatever he's going to do I'm going to do the same he also in spite of him being a very great شیخ in حدیث etc لیکن جو بھائی جی کرے گا میں وہی کروں گا جہاں وہ جائے گا میں وہی جاؤں گا wherever he goes I'm going to go there I'm not going to make a move on my own and here people are coming they would charter the entire plane. Well, Yusuf Sahib, you come with your entire family, your all entourage, your whole family, your extended family, your friends, the whole plane has been chartered just for you. Whatever Bhaiji is going to do, I'm going to go, I'm doing that. I'm not going to move from that point. So these people were quite clear about that, that we have got elders and we have got seniors and we need to toe the line with them. As a result, this India remained, as we see it today, over 150, 200 million population, Muslim population in India. What would have happened? That 200 million Muslim population, what would have happened? Totally wiped out. So it was their foresight, their ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, the understanding that allowed this to remain, allowed this to continue. So what I'm trying to get at here is what we must understand is what was the formula for the preservation of deen. One is the reference to the kitabs, and one is to the adherence to your elders. Adherence to your elders. Both must complement, one must complement the other. And if this thing doesn't happen, you just took the kitab, finish, you understood the kitab, and was, you dissociated yourself from your elder, you gone, finish. Right? So both have to be complemented. One needs to complement the other for survival, for continuity, and for perseverance. Right? And you're not going to allow that to happen. There's going to be a decline and there's going to be an eventual collapse. Right? So like in the Christians and the Jews, right? You had a problem there, right? Each had a different problem. Jews had a different problem. Christians had a different problem. In this ummah, you're getting the same problem. Right? And this problem eventually leads to decadence and destruction eventually. So if you want survival, then both have to complement. You know, we talk of jihad, we talk of striving and struggle and all that. That's one effort, alright. That's one effort, you can't run it down. But now, if we are going to invest all our energies in just one line, right, in one line, and we forget the rest of the deen, obviously it's not fair of us. All of us now say we're just going to make jihad. And forget the rest. Forget the rest of it now. On one side, you have khanqah efforts for the deen to continue. You need tabligh efforts to continue. You need madrasa efforts to continue. You need maktab efforts to continue. Now, if you say, alright, we just need this and everything else is left out, obviously, the equation is not complete. Deen is going to suffer. And to get the complete picture, the full picture, you need these people here. These people here will be able to show you, right, this picture of deen you have got is just a selected picture. You need to get a complete, comprehensive picture for the preservation, continuity, and the progress of deen, right? Without these people, you can't understand it. Because each person feels, oh, I'm doing sufficient, I'm doing more than enough. You don't have a broader picture of the whole situation, you don't have it. And when you don't have it, obviously you're going to cause problems. You just got a one-sided picture. You don't have a comprehensive, complete picture. So the need of the time is, with the reference to your kitabs, you need your elders. And they will give you, they will explain to you. Normally they give an incident referring, the importance of referring to your elders. It so sounds like a joke, humorous, but it's got an important moral. There was a wedding in India, you see, and the girls' party, they say to the boys' party that we're inviting 200 people, but the entire party must have only youngsters, no one above 25, all must be under 25. Alright, they came into the party. So now, as they are coming into the dawat, one old chacha says, "By just take me, just cover me up in one trunk or something, take me. He said, but you're not invited, no, but you must take one old chacha. So eventually somehow he came through, they smuggled him through. So the girls' party says, all right. We are going to give you the bride. There's no two ways about it. But you'll have to fulfill and comply with all our criteria. Criteria we got here now is we're going to tie all your hands at the elbows. Right? And all the food that is lying down, the dasturkhan, was wipe it out. Now, they're all puzzled, all confused. Now, if your hand is tied here at the elbow, are you going to raise it to your mouth? You can't do this. Yeah? How are you going to do that? So they went running back to the chacha. By chacha, that's what happened now. So as I said, such a simple thing, people couldn't find a solution to. So just sit in two rows facing each other. I feed you and you feed me. Take the lukma from the plate. I feed you and you do the same to me. So the girls' party, when they saw this, they said, no, there must be one old chacha with you people. Youngsters can't find a solution. See, now for that deen to thrive, you need that emotion, the sentiments and the strength of the youth, and you need the maturity, the understanding and the experience of the old. One must complement the other, then you find deen thriving. Now, if the youth say, "Now we're doing everything, right? So we must take the credit. We don't need this old chachas." It's not going to work. And the old chachas say, "We got the brains. We don't need these youngsters." It's not going to work. So one has to complement the other for the deen to thrive, the deen to progress, the deen to flourish. Right? So today's sitting, what we understand is all of us need to strive for deen, right? And there are different departments of deen, and deen requires that we need to strive for every department of deen. There are those that will take on one single work, they will go into jamaat and they will go full speed in jamaat, very good. There will be those who will go into the khanqah, they will go full speed into khanqah, right? There will be those that are in the madrasa and they'll go full speed. Right? And then there will be those who have that heart, Allah Pak has given them that understanding, that can combine, reconcile. Right? They will be able to go off into some jamaat program. Maybe they're not very active, but they'll attend some jamaat program. They'll be attending some khanqah thing, they'll be attending some madrasa. Right? But they have got that foresight where they can reconcile. You'll see them at the Jamaat program as well. You'll see them at the Istima as well. You'll see them in the Madrasa. And you will see them in the Khanqah. So there are some selected who can reconcile, they can marry all. And there are those who have dedicated themselves only to one or two. Right? Now all of them are worthy of praise. We don't run down anybody. And we don't say that only this is the most important thing and the other is not that important. Right? Someone was asking recently, what is more important? And one Arab Jamaat came, when was it? About 2 months ago. I think it was from Palestine. Palestine or Jordan. So they were asking, what is more important, a'mal or akhlaq? What is more important, a'mal or akhlaq? A'mal is taught in the madrasa, akhlaq is taught in the khanqah, character, right? So I told him, see, both are important, right? You can't say that your left foot is more important than your right foot. Right foot is important as equal as your left foot. Now I had to give it to them it's an abstract thing. You see, akhlaq and amal are abstract things. If you don't explain it to an example, people don't get a proper picture. Imagine now your father came after 4 months, he went for Hajj or whatever, and he came after 4 months, so you perhaps you invited him home, right? Now meals time, you prepare the meals and you call your parents in these words. You know, you people only like to eat, man. You're only good for eating, nothing else you. You like animals, you just like to eat. Come, the Mudassar Khan is here, come and eat. Tell me, how will that appear? See? The food is there, you're offering the food, but it's minus the akhlaq, minus the character. Will there be any enjoyment in that food? Tell me, will there be any enjoyment in the food? So Jamaat was here, say, hey, we never look at it this way, man. After the two bayats they gave, they're talking about all the aspects of akhlaq. All the aspects. We knew that akhlaq is important, but we didn't know how important it is. Now look at it, it's a simple example. The food is there, that's the amal. Just minus the akhlaq. You're only good for eating. Nothing else you're good. So you like animals, come sit down. So what they say was right, they are animals, right? A human being is an animal, right? Like animals, come and eat. Minus the akhlaq, what happened? That food lost its taste, gone, complete. So I told him, it's like the left foot and the right foot. You can't say, you know, the right foot is more important because you have to kick the ball if you need to with the right. You can't score a goal with the left, right? Right? So, let's abandon the left foot. Like you need the right foot, you need the left foot. You can't say, no, this is not important. So abandon this? No. This is important as equal as this. Now, this is what I say, that we don't have that comprehensive understanding. And as a result, we'll pull one line and we'll pull so hard on that line that the other thing is totally ignored. But we don't understand that these are all departments of deen. Like I was explaining, sometimes if it's a small, insignificant department. You know, a good example is the istima. Right, you have a security, traffic control, you have a kitchen, you have someone on the stage, right? So if the people on the stage think, you know, these people that are in the kitchen peeling potatoes, they're a waste of time, right? They're a waste of time. Let me tell you, if they cut them off, they won't be able to last there on the stage. It's the blessings of these people's potato cleaning, that these people are lasting on the stage there, right? They're cleaning the potatoes, they're preparing those meals, that those people on the stage are lasting there. So each one is important. Right? But Allah Pak has made it such that someone is stronger. He can take on so many things. He can do this, he can run here, 10 things he can combine. And some can't. Some can take one job on. Our duty is to respect all. The person who can take on more, alhamdulillah. And the person can do one, alhamdulillah for him as well. He is also great. But now if we cut him off, that potato chap, he is wasting time. I tell you, he won't last. On the stage, nobody will last. Or more like Khatari will last. And nobody will last there. Because of the barakah of these people, those people are lasting there. So this whole caravan of deen would run if we learn how to respect. We learn how to appreciate. So no, he's a very important person and we need him. And he's doing more work than us. Right? When we have that approach, what happens is the aspect of ikram, that is the fourth point in Jama'at Tabligh, right? That fourth point we'll be practicing on. We'll be appreciating, we'll be respecting. That's the one thing that we'll enjoy. And the second thing we'll enjoy is there'll be a better spirit of brotherhood within us. I say, hey, mashallah, what good tarkari you prepared, man. How excellent it was prepared. Yeah. Now that brother came just now, Hussain Mullah came. So he is involved in community work. So I show him a lot of respect, I show him a lot of time. I told him just now that in Spingo Beach, in Spingo area, all of the community work, janaza, mayyad, security, all these things here. So for that, I show appreciation. Now, if you have a one-line attitude, say, no, the main thing is to save people from Jahannam and take them to Jannat. This is place, that's right. Now, if you run the man down, tomorrow those women are coming for Taaleem, they won't be able to come safely. These people are doing security work, they are facilitating all the different works in the community. Women are going for Taaleem, they can come. Children are going home all alone, they, you know, there is some security system, so they can move freely. People are coming for namaz at odd hours, they feel secure, right? The whole town there is a feeling of security. Right? So I compliment him, I respect him on account of that. And now they appreciate, mashallah, and I tell them, nearly every day I make dua for your people. So they feel very, very, very happy about it. Now, if I can't participate in that, the least I can do is compliment them, respect them, appreciate them. So he came just now, so I told him that Ramzan time normally, you make several khatams, you know. Everybody makes several khatams. So normally the way is that you send some of the sahab to your ustaz, your mashayikh, your parents, your dear, near ones. And I was thinking, I must send one khatam to you as well, because of the good work that you are doing, the whole community is benefiting. So you are delighted, say, mashallah, at least someone is appreciating us. But now how good does his heart doesn't feel, you know, people are sitting here, but they think of us, they don't forget us. But now I tell him, no, you people are doing, not doing anything, only bringing people to the masjid, that's the main thing. That's a great thing, we're not denying, but the approach is not right. You're discrediting the person, the approach is not right. You show the person, I appreciate you, I love you, I respect you. You will get a healthier community feeling. You respect the person. Let us say, you will get that fourth point of tabligh in action. There's a spirit of brotherhood, there's a spirit of appreciation, there's a spirit of love. Won't Rasulullah sallam like this? Rather we say, no, we are the only people that are doing the work, and you people are wasting time. So we need to have that type of mind. We appreciate, we love, we appreciate, we show respect to others, and then bring them in that feeling of respect and appreciation, we bring them closer to the sunnah. He's coming once a day to the masjid, bring him twice. Right? If he's performing his namaz without jamaat, we get him to perform the namaz with jamaat. Right? But in a spirit of love, respect and appreciation. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.